Chaos. Woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning, chilling with coffee mugs, me and coffee chugs, talking education all across the nation, pushing boundaries, thinking innovation. Chaos.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Welcome to another episode on Living on the Edge of Chaos podcast. Guys, I'm here. I'm excited on a lot of levels for this guest. One, because as we were kind of pre-planning and having conversation just to get to know each other, we've kind of just lightly known each other through some of the socials and LinkedIn. He's the one that's nudged me to switch to this platform that, for those that haven't been on the show, I've moved away to a platform called Riverside, which has just absolutely like changed my whole workflow. So I'm giving him a verbal shout out in the recording for that, because even that in and of itself has been hugely successful. And the more I talk to him and dive into his work, I think there's so much here that we're going to be able to gain and think about. And again, like so much of this season of the podcast, as I'm calling it, is bringing in perspectives and insights and just voices that aren't always K-12 education based, and making sure that we're expanding beyond that, because that's how we learn, that's how we get better, that's how we start to see the world and our own approaches and practices so well. So Mark, thank you so much for taking time to jump on the show. You are an expert and guru when it comes to podcasting, and you're doing a lot around AI. So this is quite a wonderful little kind of like masterclass session I get to share with everybody. But why don't we start off with, who are you, what do you do, and what in the world do you got going on?
Sure. Thanks for the intro and the shout outs. Yes, this platform Riverside is great. I'm a big fan as well, and I'm glad to see you using it. You know, it was only a week since we chatted, and you're already taking action. Love that. So my name is Mark Latimer. I have a company called Grateful AI. The idea is that everything we do when it comes to training or enabling people with technology, that it comes from a place of gratitude. And as that is our foundation, I think it's really important that, you know, such a great core value. And that's why we put in our name. So there's the gratitude component. We work with solopreneurs to help them reclaim their time using technology and 10x their growth, you know, more of a aspirational avatar. We also work with organizations and teams to train them on primarily ChatGPT, as well as, you know, all the tools right now are, there's usually a bit of a stack. So you're combining a couple of them together, but at an organizational level, ChatGPT seems to be one of the more popular tools that everyone's using. And, you know, I'm excited about a few different projects. I'm working on a book called The Art of ChatGPT. I picked up artofchatgpt.com, which will be an exciting project, and just setting up a wait list for that. And just thrilled about, you know, helping people and learning about AI. I'm a student at heart. I love learning. And with everything changing so quickly, it's just a great place to entertain myself and my curiosity. So thanks for having me here, and looking forward to answering some questions.
Sure. Well, as you kind of framed up your organization and business, what I'm curious about is, and this is kind of my segue into how I like to ask people, I'm a superhero nerd, as you can see with all my Spider-Man gear in the back, like the origin story / superpowers that you think you have. That's such an awesome combination. I think it's something that we kind of talk around in circles, especially when it comes to AI, is this idea of like humans in the center. I know people say it, but like myself included, can get so caught up in the shiny bright object or whatever is new and the updates. But you mentioned the word gratitude, which I love so much. How did that come together of you kind of coalescing the idea of gratitude, which is a fantastic value, and this AI space to bring that to kind of like your mission or your driven to working with people? Because that's such a unique combo. It shouldn't be unique, actually, but it's so unique, and something that isn't necessarily so like forward facing in a lot of people's work, even though we're having lots of dialogue on not losing humanity as a result of AI.
Well, I appreciate the prompt and the question. The story of grateful or gratitude in my life, I guess, stems back to you know, I have a very different story than most. I spent, you know, the better part of 8-9 years living in India, in Goa, on a beach with musicians. I was learning to play guitar, and I was working with a technology company there that was doing AI training and a whole bunch of different things. And I'm from Toronto originally, and I kept, you know, when it gets cold in Toronto, you find a way to, you know, right now I'm in Florida, but I became a bit of an Indian snowbird. I would go to India when it got cold. And, you know, in that culture, there's a ton of gratitude and, you know, spirituality. It's a big, they have yoga communities, and there's just this feeling that if you're on a beach somewhere, you got to find, well, no matter where you are, it just became this habit of, you know, writing down what you're grateful for in the morning. It's a simple exercise, but it sets yourself up to see gratitude in other areas of your life. Mm. And it's a great place to grow from. And most people won't argue against gratitude. Like, gratitude, you can keep it. Like, it's not, it's kind of foundational to a lot of things. And, you know, before having this business, I had a public relations company, and it was called Grateful PR. Mm. So in that business, you know, my business partner, he's running that company now, and he's great. And we both, you know, embodied this idea of, you know, incorporating gratitude in working with clients and with our teams and attracting grateful partners. So when I've made it the through line of the business, when I had an opportunity, you know, I couldn't miss out on AI. It's just something that when I was leading that business, I was the one training the entire team and constantly being like, guys, we got to get on this. This is, you know, so it was just a natural. I got grateful.com, but in a unique spelling of G-R-A-I-T-F-L. Mm. And so I've taken grateful and put AI at the heart of it. And it's just been, you know, there's so much to be grateful for. And if I can help people out in some way, and even if it's just as simple as bringing gratitude into their approach to AI, to be grateful for, you know, this tool that just saved me what used to be an hour of work. And that, it's a little thing, but I probably feel better every time I use ChatGPT from a place of gratitude than if I'm just using it to like get something done.
Right. Well, I love that answer. And as you think about that, and I'm thinking about at the time of this recording, it feels like so much has changed in a year, or it's been over a year now since kind of ChatGPT kind of became a commonplace, you know, name business idea that people started freaking out about or getting excited about with this generative AI. You know, how are you helping people kind of process that still, like that human centerpiece, that to be grateful with, you know, your approach to that, as you just talked about, but there's so much worry. And I think a lot of that maybe comes from just not understanding all the things, but we think about losing jobs, or in education, we're worried about kids cheating, or not taking the learning seriously. I mean, the list can go on and on in terms of like the fears, the negative things, and not that they're not valid, but you're looking at it from such a different lens of optimism, and not optimism in the way of like, oh my gosh, it's going to solve all our problems. We're all going to be better. I don't think that's your approach, but like how, like you said, become incrementally better. What are the small things that help us approach? How do we be grateful? What makes us human, as well as how can we be grateful that AI could help us buy back some time to do things that we could be further grateful for? You know, how are you processing that or helping people think through that? Because I feel like there's, if I remove myself from my small pockets of circle on LinkedIn, where everybody seems to be talking about it, and I move out to the quote unquote real world, not a whole lot of people are talking about it in my youth sports in the bleachers. Not a whole lot of people are even wrapping their head around it, even though it's growing fastly. But when they do, there's a friction, right? There's a sense of panic or worry. How do you wrap around that? What are ideas you share? I mean, you don't have to give away like your business strategy, but like, how do you help people in that mental space? Because I think that's still like very, very real, even though it's not necessarily new. We're well over a year into these kind of panic conversations, so to speak.
Well, I think what we got to remember is that ChatGPT AI is quite broad in terms of application. So whenever you're dealing with a tool that has so many use cases, you got to remember that everyone who gets onto that, different than Google, is approaching it differently. They're coming with their own preconceived notions, skill sets, attitudes, age. You know, it's so vast. So ChatGPT can solve a lot of problems, but it's only, its effectiveness is geared largely based on the user's approach to it, their attitude towards it, and their use cases for what it can do. It's almost like you got to understand a basic operating system of how to use the tool. And there's some different ways to get into it, whether it's through your computer or through your phone. It's got a great conversational AI, like real talking. You can give ChatGPT a voice. And you know, a lot of people don't know even the basics about how to use it. And you know, the bringing people into the fold, people will navigate their own course. And when someone's ready for information, they'll raise their hand. So it doesn't necessarily need to be a forcing thing. I know in education, if people are going to learn about it, there's got to be some best practices and things around how to use it. But I think it's more important to have scheduled time to use it or the habit of using it for whatever. You know, it's not necessarily the outcomes-based approach. It's time on the tool, right? If it's a sandbox, well, let's play. Let's spend some time just using it, and we can all try to solve problems together. The approach to using the tool should be more of an editor. So if there's any skill that people need to leverage, it's how to edit.
You know, yeah, but it's give... I like how you phrase that. Like, I mean, I did not to cut you off there, but you say edit. It reminds me so much of when I'm going and doing workshops or sessions, just to try to get people to understand just the basics of how these platforms work. I'm always like, let's look at ChatGPT and the name, right? It's chat, meaning that we have to engage in a conversation, which is editing essentially. You know, it's not a search engine mindset where you put in a prompt and then you scroll and you hope that maybe by page 3 or 4 and surfing and reading, maybe there's an answer. Like, you can get there through the editing process or a conversation process of talking through that. And I think that's it seems so obvious when you think about it, but boy, when you actually put the time into it, as you're talking about, so many people still are in that search engine mindset, try to figure out how to properly get out the outcome that they're hoping for.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Like, approach as an editor, you could have 30 students with the same essay with a assignment to edit it. And that is a more realistic representation of how you can work with ChatGPT to make an outcome better than creating the full essay itself, because the structure will be great. And by editing, you can learn so much.
I like that. So let's take it back. Someone's listening and they're brand new. Maybe they have logged in. Maybe they've put in a few prompts. They're still not seeing maybe the value, or it seems too much. It's almost kind of like a blank canvas freeze, or what I call it, you know, where there's like you said, there's so many use cases that how we could use it. It's up to the individual user, which is, to me, the exciting piece. But that's also, if you're just getting started and don't understand all the nuance to it, that can be very overwhelming. So as we call, I don't know, I've been trying to grapple with this concept of like human performance, and I don't even know if that's even like the right lingo for this, but I'm trying to think about how do we continue to appreciate and work on ourselves as humans and our own skill sets, and then increase or augment is a word a lot of people use with AI, then to further enhance those skills or to work through that process, you know, more fluid or powerful. What would be an example for someone getting started that they could use just to like start to dab their toe in the water if they're brand new, that you have seen or you've used time and time again that you know like helps people start to be like, oh, I see it now.
So I think like when you're young, the way you learn things is through play first, right? So I would find ways to play with the tool. When I first started, I would use it to write songs. It gave me something quickly that was an interesting output that I could read, and it helped me wrap my head around the power of the tool. Because you could write a song for your mom about the classroom. You could write a song and include some different elements, and you get a really interesting text output. And that's just one game you can play, is, you know, come up with a song about something that is relevant to the group, or and, you know, maybe someone sings it, maybe they don't, but you have something that is a bit more fun, right? And that is a great place to start. Just write a song about something. And from there, it at least gives you some context for, well, this can do something that I've never seen before, like how fast the output is to get to rhyming words on these topics. You could then ask it to manipulate that with any other prompt you want, but keep asking it questions. You can ask it how the tool works. You can ask it to teach you how to use it. You can ask it for examples based on your job description, how you can use the tool. You can, it's very much a tool that can allow you to learn just by asking it to teach you. And then any idea you have, well, one great trick is to download the app and move it to a part of your phone that's like top real estate, you know, either in the dock or that first screen, so that you have a place to get to it on the go. So instead of going to Google for your queries about things, you can ask it to go there first. And maybe the more you use it, it's like the opportunity hallway. You walk down it and then things come up as you go down it. But you don't know what you don't know as you're first using the tool. The tool is also evolving, but it's important to get started. And that's about making it easy for you to create the habit. Because at some point, whether it's ChatGPT or a different kind of tool, like Google has been for so many years, it's going to be a default where you just go to this tool because it makes you smarter. Like you should be able to enhance what you know, what you learn about, the speed at which you can do things. It effectively becomes like a bit of a superpower. So if it is a superpower, how long do you want to wait before you figure out how to fly? Or whatever the skill is that, you know, unbeknownst to you, everyone else is flying around you, and you could fly all this time, but you didn't know how.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so I love that. I love that visual that you just talked about, like the opportunity hallway. And, you know, we don't know what's behind the doors unless we get there. And the only way to reach maybe the doors or the hallway, we got to walk down the hallway. We got to get started. We got to put one foot in front of the other. It's the journey of anything, right? Whether we're talking AI, or for me, I'm trying to get back into shape, and I time this recording, I finally went out and actually, like, I'm going to say run. I'll be honest, it was probably more of like a shuffle. But in order to get back there, I have to get started. And I, you know, and the more you do it, you get better, more comfortable. So you have put in, I know you have, looking at all your work and talking with you, a crazy amount of time into the hallway of opportunities of AI and the work that you do. So from your end, who has put in a lot of time, what are some of the processes or aha moments or things that now maybe you do that's second nature in your workflow, in your thinking? I know you talked about one probably already. Like, I got the same thing. I've got ChatGPT right on the front of my phone. I find myself just automatically going to that more and more than anything else. What are things now that if you have opened up some doors and found some that lead to new hallways, and maybe some doors you want to close and don't go there, that you have found to be helpful? Because I also think on the flip side, yes, that's a great example of how to get started. But we also know it's really helpful to hear from people who have maybe already started the journey, and what can we learn from them as well. So, you know, maybe it's opportunities. It could also be maybe some setbacks too. However you want to tackle that piece, I think would be really awesome for the listener.
Sure. So whatever you create, you're going to have to read. So if you create something long, well, now you have to read a longer thing. And if you, so just in terms of, you know, a question I often ask people are the tools you're using taking more of your time, but you're getting more done, or are they freeing up your time because of how you're using them? So in a business setting, if every proposal you put out is custom, you have to read it each time to make sure that everything's perfect. Yeah. Same way if you were sending an email to a colleague, if you had ChatGPT help you write it and it's a long email, well, you're still going to have to read that before it goes out. So there's power in brevity. Keeping things short means that you don't have to read as much and you're still getting the kind of output that you're looking for. So there's no reason to have everything be a long, because ChatGPT can write you long messages, but you have to read them in full if you're going to share them with other people. So right. That's one thing that that I've learned. Also, there's a great way to learn about just about anything. And what I found is that if you can get the information you want in a PDF book, whether it's a transcript from a YouTube video, could be a textbook. If you can get that in a PDF, you can put it into ChatGPT. And then now you can ask it anything about that book. What a superpower.
Right.
That is unbelievable. And if you create your own custom GPT, now you can go back to that as a pre-saved GPT. So my thinking is that at some point, whether Amazon does it, is that books will all have GPTs or a AI accessible component to make them truly actionable, where instead of having to take out the transcript and, you know, download it, there will be a way to simply ask it anything and apply your situation. Say if it's a how-to book on something specific to story in entrepreneurship, you could put in your case and it'll take the best principles of that book and apply it to your business. And I'm already doing this with many different books. So, you know, I've been able to really distill information and get down to at least what for me is most relevant at that specific time, making the speed to critical information much more accessible. So that would be like a really powerful way to learn faster. I'll take the YouTube example. If it's a transcript, maybe it's an hour video on how to, for educators listening, design better lesson plans. And you're like, this is a great talk. I don't have an hour. Even if I sped up the video to 2x speed, that's still 30 minutes.
Right.
But if I got the transcript, there's ways to download transcripts from YouTube videos and copied that and put in a PDF. Now, why I wouldn't just copy the transcript and put it into ChatGPT, there's limits on the text you can put in there. So it's more likely the response you're going to get is it's not going to work. Right. So you can use something like Notion, which is free, that you can add the transcript there and export it as a PDF. That's a quick way to do it. Or you could bring it into something like Google Drive and turn it into a PDF as well. But there's different ways to make it a PDF. And then you can just drag it into ChatGPT and ask it anything. Hmm. In order to go back to this, you'd want to turn it into a custom GPT, which you need to be on their paid plan. But it's totally worth it to have a great brain, like the author's brain, essentially, with all those ideas that you can continuously go back to and get great information from.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, even as you're sharing that example, I'm thinking about in the space of education, how, and not just education, all of us, we all learn different. We all have different processes that resonate with us. Like, I'm a podcast junkie, but like audiobooks don't work for me because I need to highlight. I need to write in the margins, or on my Kindle app, I need to be able to make notes and I need to be able to go back. And when I listen to audiobooks, I always have to stop and pause. I end up buying the Kindle version anyway so I can follow along, and it seems like more work than what it's needed. But I know there are people that live and die and swear by audiobooks, and that's what works for them. You're talking here about this whole idea of like the YouTube video and then moving that into ChatGPT for the interaction piece. And there are people, like you said, don't have time, but it's just another way to me, it goes back to like, we need to understand ourselves, and if we understand ourselves, then we can leverage these tools to expedite the learning process, not to save time, but because the reason it'll be expedited is because it works for us. you know, we've all got examples of our glorious school days where we were given some task and it just felt like forever to get it done because we weren't invested or it wasn't the method that worked for us. And so I think there, as you talk about that, I think that that's so important. And it could be a variety of ways. Maybe I don't want to read it all. I know for me, I love talking to ChatGPT. That's how I get a lot of work done now in my workflow.
Like verbally?
Yeah. When I drive between like schools and my day, I could be in 3-4 schools in a day. I can get a lot of work done now, hands-free, where I'm not typing, but I can talk and get the ideas, process what I'm thinking. And then when I get home to my computer, the stuff is there. So there are these things that I like. And I think sometimes even here, I get excited and I talk fast. I can talk ideas out and I can sometimes just need a word vomit because I can't type as fast as I'm thinking. So it's kind of a ramble, but I'm really resonating with what you're sharing there as that example, because I think that's so spot on of helping us think about how to approach these tools and opportunities.
And to your point, you know, you're a person who likes to speak. So for people who are similar to you, that kind of conversational AI, like business partner with Grateful PR, he loved voice notes. So when he started to use, he realized that there was an actual limit of like 13 minutes in the audio to ChatGPT. You've been there? So that kind of use case is amazing because administratively, you can get so much more done and it's just a faster input. And for a lot of people, we've been speaking for a while, you know, and it's one of our, you know, it's only so long you might be able to be doing stuff at a computer. So if you do have like yourself a bit of a commute sometimes, to be able to have those conversations, and I'll also use it while I'm driving. It is, in a way, it's kind of like having a personal assistant. You can select the voice that you want. And to my previous point, if you loaded up a GPT that's based on a book or a transcript, now you're on the road and you're queuing Q&A with that piece of content that you wanted to interact with and really start to understand the ideas in the book. And it's all being read out to you. An interesting workflow I found recently is to be able to create, basically have ChatGPT in your ear as a virtual teleprompter. So you can break down scripts for video, maintain eye contact, and have it feed you the line. And this is a great tool that I just started to experiment with. And, you know, using platforms like this one, Riverside, you can then go in after. So here's the workflow that I created is I'll work on a script for a video. Could be anything. And, you know, I'll work with ChatGPT on that. And then at some point, I'll ask ChatGPT to give me short, like give me a line at a time, make it a short idea, and I'll take 3 takes and then do the next one. Don't say anything else after. I'm going to do another 3 takes. And you can keep on that repetition so that when you're editing it, you usually pick the last one. But sometimes you have all of them. So you can make a quick edit, or maybe to save time, you don't want to do 3, but 2. Now you have at least 2 versions of each. Or if you feel you nailed one, well, then that's one less thing to worry about when you're editing. So now you've got a virtual teleprompting queue built into ChatGPT. Whereas if you're recording with your computer and you have some headphones in, you're talking to ChatGPT through your headphones, and your microphone is only picking up the other part. And actually, what I wanted to try, if you don't mind, is inviting ChatGPT to this conversation.
Let's try it.
So I am going to just open up a... So here's an example. I'm using a GPT that I created called StoryBrand.
Okay.
So it's based on the book, The StoryBrand. And it's got all the ideas about building great story for businesses. So I'm going to turn on ChatGPT. So it's got this little animation here.
Yep.
Give me... Okay.
Great. If you have any questions or need information related to building a story brand or related concepts, feel free to ask.
Great. Let's dig into a story for an educational podcast to help educators with AI.
Sounds like an exciting project. Crafting a story for an educational podcast focusing on AI for educators involves several key elements. Let's start by defining the main character, who in this case could be an educator facing challenges with integrating AI into their teaching methods. This character should encounter a problem, such as struggling to understand AI concepts or finding effective ways to incorporate AI tools in the classroom. The story can then introduce a guide, possibly an AI expert or a more experienced educator, who provides the knowledge and tools necessary to overcome these challenges. The guide could offer a plan and call the educator to action, encouraging them to apply new strategies in their classroom. This journey could involve trials and errors, leading to a climax where the educator finally sees the positive impact of AI on their teaching and students' learning. Finally, the story should end with the educator achieving success, perhaps through improved student engagement or enhanced learning outcomes, showcasing how AI can be a powerful tool in education. Throughout the story, it's important to keep the focus on how AI can aid in educational goals, addressing common misconceptions and highlighting practical applications. This approach not only educates, but also inspires educators to embrace AI in their teaching practices. Does this framework align with your vision for the podcast story?
Yeah, I think that sounds great. I really like the idea, and I was wondering if you could come up with a really short video script for me to tease out the idea to my audience.
Absolutely. Creating a teaser script for your podcast idea sounds like a great way to generate interest. Here's a brief script that encapsulates the core of your podcast story. Open with soft, inviting background music. In a world where technology evolves daily, one educator faces a challenge that resonates with many: understanding and harnessing the power of artificial intelligence in the classroom. Cut to a scene of a classroom where a teacher looks thoughtfully at a computer screen displaying AI tools. Speaking to the class, how can we make AI a part of our learning journey? Meet Alex, a dedicated teacher striving to bring the future of education to today's classroom. Scene transitions to Alex meeting with an AI expert. Let me show you how AI can transform your teaching and engage your students like never before. Join us on a journey of discovery, challenge, and innovation. From confusion to clarity, from challenge to triumph. Scenes of classroom activities using AI, students engaging enthusiastically. Discover how Alex transforms not just a classroom, but shapes the future minds with the power of AI. And with the podcast logo and release date. Tune in to AI in Education, Transforming Classrooms, Shaping Futures. Subscribe now and join the revolution in learning. And with uplifting, inspiring music. This script provides a glimpse of the story, intriguing your audience with the journey of transformation in education through AI. Feel free to modify it to better suit your style and audience.
Thank you. Okay, we'll pause that. So, great example. And I'm glad we got to do that because, yeah. Wow, what a prompt for a conversation.
Right. And just as, you know, as I was listening to that, I mean, just, you can almost start to see it in your mind. And then I know part of my workflow then has been, you can, and people may or may not know, but like, you can export that out into a document. So you can get that out into a Word document if you're using ChatGPT or whatever your platform might be. And then you can start to go in and clean and edit and modify it, kind of add your own human flavor or things that you want to do. And then I was even messing around yesterday. I don't even remember I'll make sure I put it in the show notes. I can't remember off the top of my head, but GPT, where then you can put those, like that script in, and it will then start to create and populate images that you could then use for your video. If you wanted to have, you know, kind of static imagery. I mean, I know it's already happening, but even creating the videos itself, and that's not perfect yet, but man, that whole field is growing faster and faster. And so you just start to think about the leveraging of how to curate these ideas that we have and kind of get those out into the world, which is a whole idea of like a thought partner in the back and forth conversation to arrive at something that you feel good about.
Well, I think this kind of example illustrates how ChatGPT could be incorporated in classroom discussion, where if everyone can hear the voice, we can prompt it, we can, you know, have that AI in the classroom in a conversational way.
Yeah.
Rather than have us always be looking at a screen to interact with it.
Yeah. And it goes back to that. I'm thinking of that word you used at the beginning, that idea of being an editor, where, you know, there is that fear in classrooms, and it's very real right now around the topic of cheating and plagiarism, you know. And I think if we can shift some of our modalities of rethinking how we could engage with these platforms, where you could have that conversation and kids like, what do you think? Do you agree? Do you disagree? What would you say next? Or do you agree with the idea? Would you shift it? You know, that whole idea of it's giving us, it doesn't even have to be creative constraints, but I'll say frame it that way, where we've got something to begin to work with. And it doesn't mean that the AI product is the authority at the end. That's where I think it comes back to that, again, that word editor. We can edit, we can modify it, we can add our touch, we can push back, we can expand. All the things that we're trying to do in classrooms or just in industry, wherever you work, constantly trying to solve problems and communicate ideas and help other people understand. I mean, that is just those are universal skill sets. That, I think, is a mindset shift that for a lot of folk, especially in education, we're stuck on. It looks like, oh man, kids are just going to put in a prompt and cheat and be done, which they might do. But maybe that's a topic for another conversation, you know, around what are the lessons and assignments we're assigning. But like your example there, I like that element of weaving it into the classroom for that kind of auditory engagement, conversational design. That could be really powerful.
And then AI is not perfect, so there might be an opportunity for humor, mispronunciation, and all this stuff that's just makes for a shared experience. Like, you know, in this interview, it was you, me, and ChatGPT, and I'm likely going to be creating a lot more content just with ChatGPT as like my co-host, right? It doesn't necessarily need to be a person. It's a great co-host. Intelligent, yeah. Always there, on time, you know, a lot of great qualities.
Yeah.
So as it comes to, you know, incorporating in a classroom, I think that there's so many different opportunities. I think if we stop focusing so much on cheating and instead get back to helping people learn, then, you know, how are people learning? Who cares about cheating? Like, cheating should be gone. You know, what if we didn't have to grade, or that part of it got a little easier because it's based on different measurements? It's not the, you know, essays aren't the be all end all. Like,
right.
If you can distill an idea, maybe it's part of your classroom participation, your thoughts on this, how you edit and get down to, you know, maybe you're graded on one sentence at the end of a semester that is like so good, it nails everything, right? Depending on the course, obviously.
Yeah.
So there's different ways to measure it, but if we're stuck in how we used to do it, well, we're probably not going to be embracing the full capability of what's possible. Because really, an education is supposed to prepare people for a better future, right? And if you're not giving them the tools that are being used in industry, they're not going to be prepared. And the same way, I got a friend who, he works as a middle school teacher in BC, and it's one of the top schools, and he's like the technology guy at the school. So he's been using it, and he said he's saved so much time administratively with ChatGPT that it's freed up time for him to focus on other things at the school. So, but you know, everyone's at a different place. I don't think it's something that people should be afraid of. No different than Google came around. And before that, there's always some kind of technology that is a little new, a little different. And what else are you doing? You know, you got the time. You know, we all have a Netflix subscription or something, but spend a little time on ChatGPT and start by creating a song for someone.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's so many great things there. You know, as you were talking about ChatGPT as a co-host, it's so funny you brought that up, because I was trying to create a graphic, trying to kind of revamp, rebrand my podcast. And long story short, I was working on prompts. I wasn't quite getting what I wanted, but one of them that was kind of funny, which I shared on my Instagram, was an AI image of me, supposedly, at a coffee table at a coffee shop having a conversation with my dog. I have a year and a half old black lab, which most people are aware of. She's a stinker. I'll put it that way nicely. But anyways, it was a really cool picture of both of us in this AI setting having a cup of coffee talking. And so I've been trying to tweak it. I haven't done it yet, but it prompted me to come up with like a new, like, I don't know if it's going to be a podcast, like a segment called like A Minute with Mabel. That's her name. And I've been trying to create a custom GPT that is her personality as if my dog was human. So I've been trying to get this in there, and it's going to be kind of these like 1 minute little hot takes as if I was having a conversation with my dog and she could speak real words. So it's so funny as you're talking about that. I'm like, I've been, not a podcast, it's just some like a little side kind of dorky thing, but it's got me thinking so much of thinking about like, I'm thinking about my dog here, but like, who is she? What's her personality? I got to like name the elements, right? Like, and do it in a way that feels like, yep, that's her if it comes out. And so even though it's kind of fun, kind of dorky little side project, man, it really gets you thinking and kind of studying, you know, in this case, my dog, but it could be whatever we're interested in to truly grasp the person or the animal or the thing to be able to articulate the words, then to have a really kind of cool conversation. So it's just, as you're talking about that, I'm like, oh, man, I gotta get back to that this weekend and get that done.
I think to your point, there really is a possibility for people to lean into their interests, right? And, you know, in education, schools that are designed around people's interests are always so much more engaging for the student. Assignments where I get to learn about something I want to learn about, you know, it's not always ideal, but releasing a little bit of that control where people are using the tool to be creative, to explore, to learn, and then ultimately have to edit the output, I think is a great recipe for people to really expand on their curiosity. Like, I've used it for editing songs in English into Spanish to have different verses of original music. And it's not something that would be very easy. Say a direct translation might not give you some of the options of certain words, because you can zero in on a sentence or give me alternate, maybe there's too many syllables in this phrasing. So you can really get, and now you're doing some language learning on the side.
Yeah.
You can also get different visuals for music notation. And there's all kinds of really niche things that you can do, but you only kind of discover them by being curious and trying things. It's not like there is an owner's manual for everything you can do with ChatGPT. It's usually based on your own, what you've learned in the past, applied to your creative input as far as how you come up with interesting questions, but you won't know that kind of that recipe unless you at least have a bit of a foundation. But you can bypass the foundation by just doing a ton of action, right? And using it more than, if you use something more than anyone else, by default, you are in a very small percentage of like expert users. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, even if you were using it for the most, in your opinion, as you said, like nerdy things, you're still getting these micro experiences of like, oh, this went this way, this went this way. And maybe you're not even aware, but you could apply it to something later because now you're making these connections. Right. And a great bit of language is that it's not artificial intelligence, it's the art of intelligence. Mm. It's using what you're connected to, these ideas, and then having the ability to make those gaps closer together. So we're effectively in like nodes of information, like if you picture those webs that are created, right? And ChatGPT is just helping us realign these pathways to make certain connections stronger or more relevant to us, because, you know, it took a long time to get answers for things. And now we can speed up a lot of those. So it is based on how good your questions are. So the better you get at asking great questions, the more likely that the output is going to be something that's going to be usable and useful in your work. Curiosities take you.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, as we get here at the end of the hour and be respectful of your time. It reminds me of, I don't know if there's any True Detective TV junkies out there, but in the latest season, Jodie Foster's character is always saying, you know, we just haven't asked the right question yet. Ask questions. Let's ask questions. And so I think you're so spot on in that. And, you know, I think the kind of come full circle on things is that's at the end of the day, we just got to use it. We got to experience it. We got to get involved so we can have a better understanding of how things work, how they don't work, and kind of see how it fits for us. And if we keep sitting on the sideline, then, you know, how are we ever going to know the right question to ask, whether that's directly into the prompt or thinking about self-reflection in terms of our own practices and workflows. And so, Mark, this has been absolutely fantastic conversation. I'm down here scribbling all sorts of notes and new ideas that have sparked while you've been talking. So I know that I've appreciate the ideas that you've brought to the table. As we wrap up, I got two final questions that I've been asking guests in this season to kind of bring it back to the human side of the guest, even though we've had lots of that today. And one of those questions I've been asking people as we wrap up is, you know, what's one of the best pieces of advice that you've ever received?
I would say that I took stand-up comedy for some time in like a 3-month night school class. And the teacher said that everything's been done, but nobody's done it quite like you.
Mm.
It's a beautiful statement because, like in comedy and so many things, sometimes we're stopped by somebody else did that. You know, it's not original anymore. But everything you do is going to have your unique flavor, something that makes you different, you special, right? So, you know, don't stop on projects because it's been done. What you do is going to have its own unique output.
Every time I hear people's advice that they've received, it's just been so profound. So that's so good. I love that. And I think that resonates a lot with what we've been talking about in this conversation. Even if we're just getting started and maybe you feel like you're late to the game, I think that piece of advice really kind of resonates perfectly. Last question I have is, sure. You know, I like to always end on a piece of optimism or something exciting, and we've already got plenty of that, but you know, what's something that you're binge watching, a book you're reading, music, maybe it's someone that you're kind of see as a mentor, just something, you know, it doesn't even have to be about anything we've talked about in this conversation, definitely can be, you know, just something to get out there that people should check out, and it can be as silly or as serious as you want to make it.
Well, I can share book that I like to revisit, and that is The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And the audiobook is narrated beautifully, and it is, the whole premise is that there is this thing called resistance, and resistance is the enemy. Is it resistance?
Yep.
Yeah. And it's just great. So if you're ever stuck in a creative project or just need some inspiration, that book is great kindling.
It is. And it's kind of short, quick read, but man, it really does pack a punch. And so it is. I have read that book several times myself. I should probably go back and revisit that. It's been a few years, but I've got several copies because mine have been beat up so many times. And it is a fantastic read. You know, Mark, as we bring this to a close, we'll get all the stuff in the show notes. The listeners know that. But if people want to learn more about you, learn more about your work, follow you, gain more of your insights, you know, where are some of the best places for people to follow along and add you to their network of learning?
Sure. I'll make it super easy. If you want to email me, it's mark@openaitraining.com. Openaitraining.com is a website. Can be reached, at that website, openaitraining.com. And you can find me, Mark Latimer, at Mark Latimer on Instagram, as well as LinkedIn is where I spend a lot of time. So, happy to connect.
Perfect. Well, I can't thank you enough for your time. This has been absolutely fantastic. I appreciate all that you shared. I continue to be blown away by what you're doing and the content you're putting out. So I can't thank you enough for the work that you have going on, and I appreciate you taking time to chat with me today.
Well, thanks so much, Aaron. This has been a lot of fun, and I appreciate you doing this. It's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chaos. Woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning, chilling with Coffee Mugs, me and Coffee Chugs, talking education all across the nation, pushing boundaries, thinking innovation. Chaos.